Ride,
Humpty,
Dumpty,
fell
down.
That's his heart.
John,
Jackie,
nimble,
what?
Nimble,
and he was
quick,
but jam,
smart, faster, Jackson, Jay.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. My name's Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. Shout out to Run DMC. And speaking of Peters, Peter Piper might be our second favorite Peter. Peter Bukowski is our favorite Peter right here on the Mason Crosby Show from Locked On Sports and Locked On Packers. Peter, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have something Packers related to talk about in you know, late May here. That's actually newsworthy. I can't believe it.
So, lead us off with it. What's on your plate today as OTAs start? As there's Jaire Alexander news. As there's Terry Bradshaw going after Aaron Rodgers. We could always get into that. What's on your plate as OTAs are finally here?
Well, I just want you to know that I'm currently doing this interview, sitting by a tree, eating bark, and talking to the gods. So I mean, you know what?
We should all live that life. For those of you who missed it, that is what Terry Bradshaw told Aaron Rodgers to do. Stay in California, eat some bark, and talk to his gods.
Yeah.
Which is a great line. Great line.
Not something that you probably even needed to tell Aaron Rodgers to do. He was probably just going to do that anyway.
Exactly.
No. You didn't think Terry Bradshaw could form that sentence anymore either, probably. Yeah.
It does seem like a lot of words for a Terry Bradshaw sentence, but that's neither here nor there.
Aaron Rodgers said, say less. That's a day that ends with Y for me.
So the Jaire Alexander stuff is fascinating to me because for like 500 different reasons, but the main reason to me is this was over. Like, once you have a situation where a team is leaking to ESPN, Rob Domofsky reported a couple months ago that they thought he could play, that he was not always available to play when the team thought he could play, whether that was specifically this knee injury that he had after the Jaguars game or over the course of his career with the shoulder injuries and other ailments. I mean, this is a guy who missed all of 2021, or most of it, only played seven games in 2023 and 2024. So there's been plenty of maladies to pick from here. But once you have a team leak to the media, hey, we think you're soft, because that's really what this is. That's what you're saying. When you leak to the media, this guy's not playing when we think he can play. That's the dreaded S word in sports. And it just seems over once you start doing that. And for us to come all the way back around here to this moment, I mean, they announced the trade in February, and it's May, and he's still on the team. I kind of can't believe that this is where we are, but I will say, I think it speaks, and Jason Hirschhorn wrote about this earlier this week over at The Leap, it speaks to the team's willingness to, on the fly, change its plans. Like, I think there would be plenty of teams that would go, and I think Ted Thompson, of a different vintage, would have just said, we're moving on. Like, we just don't think you are worth the money anymore, and we are moving on. It's what they did with Josh Sitton. It's what they did with TJ Lang. It's what they did with Micah Hyde. It's what Brian Gutekunst frankly did with Jordy Nelson. At no price do we think this makes sense. And I think the Packers showing a willingness to do that is an evolution of this front office. Now, whether it's a smart thing to do, whether it's a wise and worthy choice, we'll see. And plus, we still have to get a resolution here. We don't know what the resolution even looks like, if there is one.
So do you think this all eventually comes down to how many games he actually is available for this year? Like, and is there a number? Like, if he plays 12 of 17 games, is that good enough? If he plays 8, is that a disaster? If he plays 15, is that a total win? Like, what in your mind makes this an amicable second marriage between the Packers and Jaire?
Yeah. I think it depends on how they come down on the contract. Like, if this is something where the Packers are able to cut considerable money off the base salary. And I suggested, you know, recently that I'd be willing, if I were Green Bay, I'd be willing to say, your base salary, we'll replace it one for one with bonuses and add money to it if you play all 17 games. Because he is good enough to be worth the money if he plays all those games, if you wanted to do it that way. I don't know that the Packers would have to do that. I'm just saying, if you said, okay, I'm going to get 17 games in the playoffs of Jaire Alexander, is he worth the contract he's currently on? The answer is yes. The problem is we don't know what that number is actually going to be. So if they're able to say, you know, get half of the base salary turned into per game bonuses, for example. That's a win for Green Bay if he plays those 8 games. I compared this the other day on Locked On Packers to the Celtics with Porzingis. You're taking a big gamble.
Mm,
and if he's healthy in the playoffs, no one's going to beat you. And that's what happened. He was just healthy enough in the postseason for them to win a title. And what happened this year? He got hurt, and they got bounced.
Yep.
Not the least of it, which because he got hurt. And so if that's what you're able to get, the upside he's able to generate, I think it's a gamble worth taking if you can make the money make sense.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. Tommy and I did a segment earlier today where we sharpied in the offensive line. And we tried to figure out who's in Sharpie, who's in like, who's in pen, erasable pen, who's in pencil, who's, you know, who's where, who is in Sharpie for you at a specific position on the offensive line for you right now?
I think Aaron Banks is the only guy at a position I can write in Sharpie.
Okay.
Like he is going to be the starting left guard. I am sure of, if he's healthy, I'm sure of that. Beyond that, I can't tell you because I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Belton came in and played really great at right tackle and pushed Zach Tom and made the Packers have to make some decisions.
Wow.
About what's going to happen there. And not because I don't think Zach Tom is a good player, but I think I overrated the season he had last year. I'll be honest.
Okay.
I went back and I did a study on all of their play action plays. And I know this is like very deep in the weeds here, but one of the biggest problems they had was protecting Jordan Love on play action. It's one of the reasons why they stopped doing it. And one of the biggest culprits was Zach Tom. Mm. And I heard an analyst say recently that Zach Tom looks like a Pro Bowler until he plays a Pro Bowler. And that's an apt comparison to me right now. It is a great line. And so if they gave Anthony Belton the chance to win that job and he did it with the violence and the size and the athleticism that he has, and then they move Zach Tom to center, for example, I don't think that's a crazy outcome here. You move on from Elton Jenkins in 2026. You save $20 million. You extend Zach Tom. He's your starting center. Like that's a reasonable outcome here for me. The only guy I'm sure is going to be a preferred starter at his position come August is Aaron Banks.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, joining the Mason Crosby Show. Peter, Tommy here. I had brought up in this take that if we wanted to Sharpie in just your best five guys, who was going to be there? We had talked about it. Elton Jenkins likely to be there. Zach Tom, Aaron Banks. And then it comes down to two spots and really three players, I feel like. Anthony Belton, while it would be awesome if he is a part of this offensive line, I don't know if he's on that short list. But I do think that all signs are pointing to it right now, Peter, that they are trying to put Jordan Morgan on this starting five, wherever it is. And I would almost say that I think it's more likely that Jordan Morgan is starting on this offensive line, and you can put his name in Sharpie. You just can't put a position on it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, when you look at last year, I mean, he was splitting time with Sean Ryan, flipping not only sides of the field, left to right, but positions from left tackle to right guard. And that's a huge adjustment. And yet, even with time missed in training camp, he was splitting time right away with Sean Ryan. I don't think they are at all sold on Sean Ryan as a long-term starter here. I think the more interesting battle, to your point, I mean, I think you're right that they, if the Packers got to pick today, if they were writing these things down, I think Jordan Morgan's name would be in, if not Sharpie, like, you know, a nice pen where you'd really have to get a Sharpie to like blot it out to make sure that you were going to replace it with something else.
Maybe some calligraphy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Now just fancy too.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I think that makes sense because I don't know that I can get there with Jordan Morgan as a left tackle. I didn't think he was a left tackle coming out of school. And so that is probably weighing heavily on my evaluation of that at this point, but they seem to think he can play tackle. And it seems pretty obvious to me that one or both of Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan are not going to be on this team next year. If the Packers got to pick, I think if they would line it up, Jordan Morgan starts at left tackle, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. And then you have Anthony Belton, you have Rashid Walker as backup players. And maybe you give Anthony Belton a chance to get some right guard looks with Sean Ryan I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities by any means either.
Well, Peter, did we, you know, you just talked about it that you thought maybe you overrated Zach Tom's season. Did we do the same with Rashid Walker? I felt like Rashid Walker stepped in at left tackle. It's a late day three draft pick guy. Came in, played very serviceable left tackle. Maybe is he the answer of the future? I don't think so. But a guy that I didn't think lost his job with his play last year, no?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of putting it. I think the reason I bring up the Zach Tom misevaluation is more just that, like, I was talking about Zach Tom like he was one of the four or five best right tackles in the league last year. And I was never saying that about Rashid Walker.
Okay.
Like, Rashid Walker was always, to me, just a serviceable left tackle. Like, between the 14th and 18th or 20th best left tackle in the league. Something like that, where you're like, you know, he's certainly not a top 10 tackle in total in the league, but like, he's not a bottom 10 or bottom 20 even tackle in the league. Every team has two, so there's 60 of them or whatever. Like, he's somewhere in that band between 20 and 35, probably, just overall tackles. So, like, that's fine. That's a fine player. My bigger problem is I'm not sure Jordan Morgan is the right player to push him in that case. I have some concerns about his length, about his lateral agility, and those concerns are mitigated at guard, which is one of the reasons why they can say all day they think he's a tackle and they put him at guard because they thought he could play there right away. I think the reality is he's more likely a guard. It's not a surprise they drafted a pure tackle in Anthony Belton. I think he has all the tools. I'm sort of a sucker for these Anthony Belton types. He's like 6'6". 330-pound maulers in college who have good athleticism, and it's not always pretty, but they just get the job done. Like, those guys do it for me. Like, I just, for whatever reason, I'm kind of a sucker for those kinds of guys, and they're just the kinds of guys the Packers never draft. So I was excited about the Anthony Belton pick. I don't know where he fits on this line right now, but I'm fascinated about, like, this brings me back to Rod Demasi reporting the Packers think that Zach Tom could be an all-pro center. Like, if that's the plan in a year, why not give Anthony Belton every chance to win this right tackle job? I don't know. This is going to be the most excited I've ever been to watch offensive linemen play in the preseason. I can't remember ever being like, let's go, offensive line,
woo!
Like, it's going to be great. And not because you're like, oh my God, Byron Bell is going to start for this team at right guard. Holy crap, Justin McCray is going to, they're really going to roll for 17 games with that guy. But they have so many options. Like, most teams are struggling to get to five guys that they even feel decent about on the offensive line. The Packers might have seven or eight.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers podcast, joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. We're in the fan studios powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And speaking of depth and of woo, I think most Packers fans are keeping their eye on the wide receiver room with two new rookie additions, a veteran from the Chiefs who may or may not even make the team, and of course, three returning veterans who think they should all be the number one option. What do Reed and Dobbs and Wicks need to prove to keep their playing time away from Golden and Williams? And is there a scenario where those five guys all get theirs?
No, okay. There just isn't. Because you didn't even mention Christian Watson, who's waiting for all this to come back, they're just, someone's going to be marginalized.
Yeah.
And last year you looked at it and you saw, Romeo Dobbs, Dontayvion Wicks, and Jayden Reed all had like within five targets of one another. Like, it's crazy. They have it's like 72, 75, and 76 targets or something last year. And then Christian Watson had some of the injuries, so he's a little bit further down the way. But then you add Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, and I'm supposed to just expect, like, everyone's just going to be cool getting 50 targets? Mm-hmm. I said this at the end of last year. Even if one of these guys isn't the number one, they need to start treating their best guys like their best guys. And you need to figure out some sort of hierarchy, because there is going to be pouting. Like, it will be human nature to pout about this. And we already saw Romeo Dobbs suspended because he pouted about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is why we were already getting reporting, prime the pump here. You know, Albert Breer reported a couple weeks ago, Packers already so impressed Matthew Golden. They've seen him for 5 minutes. They've seen him run four routes, and we get the leak. They're impressed. They might be looking to trade one of these receivers. I'm going to be surprised if all the names you just mentioned are, and like, leave Mecole Hardman aside for a moment, because I think that's a separate thing. But a name the Packers know, and probably one of these veteran receivers, is going to be on the block in August, I would think. I just you have too many guys otherwise, and you're not going to be happy. And it's going to be a Herculean task for Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur to keep all these guys satisfied. I think, too, what it is proof of is the Packers don't believe in that much in any of them. That's right. Why you go out and you have Matthew Golden and you have Savion Williams. You just can't worry about their feelings because none of them have proven that you have to worry about their feelings. I was joking with Sparky last night when I went on his show that, you know, the only thing Matt LaFleur would like more than to stop being asked about who the number one receiver is that he had a number one receiver.
Yes.
The reason he's mad is because he doesn't have one.
Yep.
Not that you're asking questions about it. And so, you know, this is something where I think the Packers would love for Matthew Golden to step into that role, even if it is that sort of like Xavier Worthy wide receiver one, like we saw with the Chiefs. Like, okay. Yeah, he's a lot of it is manufactured, but in the biggest games, that's who they're building the game plan around. They need someone who you can build the game plan around. You can't just build an offense. There have to be times against the best teams where you go, this is a matchup we think we can exploit, and we have to go to it over and over and over. And that's what you go back and you look at the AFC Championship game. That was the Xavier Worthy game. I mean, I think yes. He had 8 catches in that game, 2 touchdowns. It was a lot of schemed up stuff against man coverage,
but it worked.
And it worked. And you don't need to be a great route runner. You don't have to be, you know, Davante Adams to do that. Matt LaFleur is a good enough coach to coax that out of them. I'm really excited about this group because I think the pieces fit really well. But someone is going to need to take a step forward. And I think that necessitates someone taking a step back, even if that step back means, okay, you're on someone else's team now.
So do you think Matthew Golden can be that guy?
In year one, I'd be hard pressed. But I think what would be interesting, and this maybe this would be disappointing to fans, but I think there would be a lot of Romeo Dobbs in his rookie season in Matthew Golden this year in that on third down and in the red zone, that's the guy that they're going to be designing stuff for. That's going to be the guy that they go to. And you look back at what he was for Texas at the end of last year, every big catch down the stretch and in the college football playoff, every time they needed a play, 4th and 15 against Arizona State, they run the play for him. He scores, not just gets the first down, scores a touchdown on it. Every big catch in coverage he made. And I think that they're looking for a guy to just go get them a bucket when they need one. They have the talent. They have the quarterback play, the run game, the coaching. They just need one guy who on 3rd and 6, you can say, this is what we're doing. And it's going to this guy. And hopefully, dear God, I hope he's not wearing 22. But hopefully it's just 2 by then. But if it is 22, then that's got to be what it's got to be. And you got to find him. And that's got to be the plan here moving forward, I think.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, joining the Mason Crosby Show. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Let's talk about the quarterback, Peter, Jordan Love. 2 years now as the starter, coming into year 3, obviously got the contract already locked up. What questions does Jordan Love have to answer this year? Because it seems like there is not a more polarizing franchise quarterback in the NFL right now. Do people believe in him? Do people not believe in him? Did he prove himself? Does he still have to prove himself? What questions are we looking for out of Jordan Love to answer this year?
I think those questions, both in that building and outside, are very different. I think the divide in the building is Jordan Love is their guy, and they love Jordan Love. Matt LaFleur loves Jordan Love. The front office believes in him deeply. I think these receivers, I think his teammates believe in him. I think you see that Josh Jacobs immediately shows up and is like, oh, this guy's special. He's one of the reasons why I came here. There is a perception in the league that he is a very good football player. The league thinks he is better than I think the media believes, and certainly better than some of the NFC fans believe. Now, I loved the way that Brian Gutekunst phrased it after the season when he was asked, you know, sort of where do you think Jordan Love is and where would you like to see him get better? You know, statistically, efficiency-wise, you know, EPA per play and a lot of those numbers, he was better. The raw stats weren't there because he missed those games and played hurt for a lot of those games. But what Gutekunst said was he wanted to see Love control the game a little bit more. And as people who have watched Aaron Rodgers for as long as we have, we know what that means because it's not always, can you make the plays? It's on 3rd and 8, your guys have not been getting open all game. Can you run for a first down? Or can you just make a throw that's so good they have to catch it? Or can you audible into a play? Can you catch them offside and generate a big play? Can you get everyone's organized and settled down in a moment where that's what they need? And I think we've seen Love do that at various points. I mean, I think the Lions game this year in Detroit is a great example of that. They can't get anything going offensively, and in the second half, he just dices them up. And they have the lead in the fourth quarter. They should have had the lead late in the fourth quarter, but that ridiculous offensive pass interference call on Christian Watson negates the touchdown. That's neither here nor there. But it's those opportunities to say, okay, this game is getting away from us a little bit, or this has been back and forth. We need to do something about this. Jordan Love's ability to say, I am going to do something. We saw it against the Saints in 2023. Remember, 17 points in the fourth quarter. And it was all just Jordan Love, virtuosic play after virtuosic play. Incredible throws down the seam to Jaden Reed, the go ball down the left side of Jaden Reed, the 30-yard run where it looks like he's going to go out of bounds. It's that stuff. And we saw it in 2023. We just didn't see it quite the same level in 2024. And I think a healthy Jordan Love is able to do that. I think that's the key, though, is, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. That's the list of guys right now where you go, when their team needs something, I know those guys can deliver. Whether they do it every time is immaterial, but they can do that. Jordan Love needs to stamp his name on that list. And if he can, this team can win the Super Bowl.
From one megastar to another, Jordan Love to Giannis Antetokounmpo. I just want to get your take. I know you're wrapped in all the Packers stuff right now, but I also know you're a big Bucks guy. All the talk about, oh, Giannis really likes Doc. You know, most, I think 97% of Bucks fans want Doc out. But if Giannis wants Doc here, it seems like Doc's going to stay. What are your thoughts on that situation and just Giannis in general with all the national hubbub and what could happen with Giannis during this offseason?
Yeah, I don't know that I worry that much about the Doc Rivers piece of this. And I'm sort of on the periphery of that, I think, in terms of like the degree to which I think Doc Rivers was the problem last year. I think the problem last year was roster construction, first and foremost. I just don't think they had the right guy. Like, remember how many breathless takes were uttered about the need to play Andre Jackson Jr. early last season. It turns out the guy just isn't going to be good enough to be in a playoff rotation. He just has never shown that that's what he is. It was exciting at times, but it's like, okay, but when you need him, can he be out there? And it seems like the answer is no. The offense is just not where it needs to be. We saw it when Dame got hurt. Like, Giannis and shooting is enough to win most games. It's why I don't think, if Giannis decides to stay, even with Damian Lillard hurt, I don't think this is going to be some 25-win team like next year. Like, Giannis is that good that they can win 40 games with, you know, A.J. Bird and Gary Trent Jr. back. If they're, you know, Derry Bird, A.J. Green, if they're able to do that next year, I think they have the pieces there just to be fine. But they need another player. They need another playmaker, and however they can get that, I don't know. But the problem to me was not Doc Rivers. Like, I don't know if there's a coach in the league that was going to get materially more out of this particular group of players than Doc Rivers did. Now, maybe they don't collapse at the end of that game, but it's hard for me to, like, blame Gary Trent Jr. having a ball go right between his legs on Doc Rivers. Like, that's just not fair to Doc. So if Giannis wants Doc, I mean, imagine this, if this is 2018, and at the end of that season, Aaron Rodgers says, I want Mike McCarthy to stay. How do Packer fans react? Aren't they going, no, we're done with this? But Aaron Rodgers wants him to stay. And that's, of course, not the opposite, basically, of what happened. But I think that would be a good proxy for this. Like, the best player in the world, arguably, wants the coach to stay, then the coach has got to stay. That's just the way business operates in the NBA.
Yeah, we talk about business a lot on this show, and that you're absolutely right. That is business. That is how it works. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, a podcast, Locked On Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, thanks so much for jumping on with us today.
All right, thanks, guys.
Absolutely.